Welcome to Work From Your Happy Place, the podcast that equips you with the tools, know-how, and motivation to live your dreams and find your happy place. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter for a recap of the week's guests and a preview of what's in store. To sign up, simply text the word happy place with no space to 33444. Now, it's my pleasure to introduce the host of Work From Your Happy Place, Belinda Ellsworth.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Work From Your Happy Place. This is our artist edition of our show. I'm your host, Belinda, and I am so excited to welcome our guest today, Scott Sean White. Scott makes his home these days in Poetry, Texas, a perfectly named little town for a songwriter's songwriter. For 29 years until 2018, White managed, booked, and played keyboards in a corporate cover band that played funk, disco, and hip-hop. During that time, he wrote a pocketful of country-leaning songs and then made his way down to Nashville, where he found his musical home. White has spent several years there as a staff writer and is releasing his first album called Call It Even this year. It is my pleasure to welcome Scott to our show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yes, of course. So, wow, let's just dive in here. I want to hear a little bit of the backstory. I want to hear a little bit of your background, how you kind of got involved in this. And then we'll talk about your journey and making your move to Nashville. How's that sound?
That's perfect. I started playing in bands when I was pretty young, like right out of high school, and playing in cover bands. I was already writing original material, but oh man, it was awful. songs are terrible. But started playing in cover bands, and it pretty quickly became a horn band, and I played keys in it. The main band that ended up being around for 30 years. And I just kind of kept writing. I also became a studio engineer around Dallas at three different studios. I started doing production and arrangement. This is all in my early to mid late 20s. And then, you know, in my 30s, I started kind of deal with my crazy childhood that I had. And that was out in the sticks in Kerrville, Texas. And so I couldn't really tell those stories in my original songs in R&B and hip hop because it was out in a, you know, it was country stuff. And
right.
So I started kind of trying to write what I thought was country music, and all the while still playing in this band for a living. We played club dates, but we got to where we played mostly big extravagant weddings and corporate events and such. And we had three horns, three singers, choreography. It was a big production, and it was a lot of fun musically. But meanwhile, I start going to Nashville in 2005 for pretty much a week, a month, you know, from Sunday through Thursday, and starting to learn how to write country songs because I had these stories from my childhood that were building up and building up and building up, and country was a genre to tell them in. And I found out that country was kind of that home genre that I had been really looking for all my life, for my voice. And I'm not even talking about my vocal voice. I'm talking about my songwriter voice, my creative voice. And so I just kept going to Nashville at least once a month, sometimes twice. And then I sold that band business in 2018 to focus completely on the songwriting side of things. And I've been there 2 weeks every month ever since. So that's kind of the sped up long, short version.
All right. So tell me about as a songwriter, do you believe that that's just – so you were obviously a musician for a number of years. So did you feel like songwriting was just something – is that a natural talent that's just people have it or they don't? Or do you think you developed those skills along the way and people could become a songwriter if that's what they wanted to do?
I think it's both. I started writing songs when I was 15 or 16, and wrote hip hop and R&B and produced that stuff all the way up until I started going to Nashville, and I was about 35 then. I think it's both. I think you have some natural talent that you're born with, and then I think there's a whole lot of work to do it at a high level. It's kind of like, I always tell people, it's kind of like high school kids that are football players that are really good in high school, and then they go to college and they're still really good, and they get better. But when they get to the NFL, everybody there was born with a lot of talent. The thing that separates people in the NFL is that they work on all the details. They work on their craft, and they dedicate themselves to working on their craft. And that's what Nashville really did to me and for me, was it took the natural talent that I had, which was super raw. I mean, super raw.
Okay.
And it taught me all the techniques and all the tricks of the trade and all the ins and outs. There's so much to learn. It's like, again, like you go from college to pro football, when all of a sudden football is your job and all you do is study it all day, you figure out there's a lot more to it than just showing up.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I think it's both. You have to have the natural talent, and then you have to, be willing to do the work with that talent. Can you start with zero talent and inclination in that area and learn? I don't think so. But there's always an exception to the rule.
Mm-hmm. I think that I've always just, this is an observation 100% on my part with the different people that I know and I've met, and I've played in bands as well. So I've had a little bit of experience with that. And so I just, singer-songwriters just seem to, or songwriters in general, they just have this, there's a certain quality or something that they just have in them that I think it's hard for even somebody who is a great musician doesn't necessarily have that ability to sit down and write a song. I just think it's just different. It's hard to pinpoint. So I was curious what your take on it was. The one thing I loved that you said, and I teach this in every industry, no matter what it is that you're doing, and that is, and this is the piece that people don't want to take the time to do, and that's master your craft.
Yeah.
And you gave an example so eloquently, but it's like, it is putting the time in, it is showing up, it is doing the work, it's those fine details, it's mastering it, it's getting better at doing what you do and showing up to do it. And people today, a lot of times, they just like, oh, well, I just want to do this. It's like, we got to master your craft. And it's amazing to me, actually, that how people struggle with that.
Yeah, the difference between, the weekend warrior and the people that just kind of do things on the side and the people that do it for a living is a whole lot of hours. That saying about, I don't know if it's scientific or not, but you got to master something, you have to spend 10,000 hours doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure it's close to accurate because, there's so much detail to every craft, whether you're writing a book or writing songs or screenplays or producing movies, there's so much stuff that you have to do every day to learn all of it. And you have to do it every day for parts of it just to become natural and automatic. That's one thing that's happened over the years. When I talked about learning the little tricks of the trade, simple versions of that is alliteration and inner rhymes and things like that. And I used to have to think about them in year 1, 2, 3, and 4. And now, stuff just comes out of my mouth that way. So
interesting.
I can focus on the bigger, harder parts of writing a great song, because there are much harder parts than getting the alliteration and the inner rhymes in. It's actually pretty easy once you do it all the time. The harder parts of songwriting, which is, you got to gotta say it without saying it, kind of stuff. You gotta show them, not tell them, but you're showing them with words. You know, all that stuff is tricky stuff. So,
right. So let's talk about greatest accomplishment. So what is something in your career or in your personal life that is a standout?
Well, you know, career-wise, we picked the perfect day to do this because I've been going back and forth to Nashville. This is my 17th year. Once or twice a month, I estimated one day that I had put 750,000 miles on my cars in that amount of time.
Wow.
Going back and forth and all the hours. It's a 9 to 10 hour drive each way. All the times I almost gave up, which weren't a lot, but there were a few key times that I was like, okay, I'm tired of this. I'm out. And, but I never did. Tomorrow, well, actually tonight at 11 PM, Cody Johnson releases my first song on a major label in Nashville.
That's exciting.
It is.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
I'm so glad you're here or doing the show today.
I'm having a hard time not crying about it.
Oh my gosh.
He announced it. I knew he had recorded it last June. And then a few weeks ago, we got the track listing from the label. So he knew it was on the record. And then we had heard that it's a double album coming out in October. And he's putting out two songs each month until the album comes out in October. And so we thought maybe this, you know, I have two songs on his record, actually. And this one is called God Bless the Boy. And he announced Tuesday. I've just happened to get on social media and I see Cody Johnson saying, hey, Friday, we're releasing two more songs, God Bless the Boy. And in parentheses, he has Corey's song because one of his daughters is named Corey. And she insists that that is her song. So he added that to the title, which is really cool. And I saw that Tuesday morning and I was hooping and hollering and I was crying and hooping Aww. And hollering it's a cool deal. So,
oh, that's exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And isn't that going to be amazing for you when you hear that playing, you know, on the radio or however you listen to it?
And, oh, man.
And it's just going to be like, that's my song. Like, I wrote that. That's how it's going to be.
I know. It's insane. And, you know, if it makes – we have a couple of horses in a barn on our property there in Poetry. And we have a radio in the barn. That we play when we put the horses up, you know, and I've got a bunch of friends who've had songs on the radio and it's always so cool. Like I've teared up when my friends' songs have come on the radio in there. Mm-hmm. And so, whew, man, you know, when that song comes on that radio in the barn, I'm just going to lay down there in the hay and cry.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So kind of the opposite of that, what's been one of your greatest challenges that you've had to work through?
You know, I think that my greatest challenge, and this is going to be just kind of real life day to day, is time management. And I hope that's not a cliche, but like the last month, I was only home 5 days in the month of June. I was in Nashville for 2 weeks. In the middle of that, I was in Mobile, Alabama, writing for a couple of days with a friend down there and playing a couple of shows, and then came home real briefly, drove 6 hours to a show, came home real briefly, went out to Marble Falls, Texas for a writing retreat for a couple of days. And meanwhile, I have this album that, you know, came out about 10 weeks ago that I am my own record label, promoting it. Advertising it, handling all the social media. And plus my main job is still being a songwriter, which is what most of my time is. So time management is just critical, and discipline, the discipline that goes, that it takes to manage your time well, and to keep your priorities straight. You know, I was talking to a friend of mine a few weeks ago about all this, and I said, one of the important things that I have to constantly remind myself is that my main job is a creative. It's the creative part that is my main job, writing songs. And I can't ever let that get away from me and be handling too much business. I'm going to have to be creative, make that my focus, get to the business I can handle. And for me, being a believer and a Jesus follower, trust in the Lord with the rest that I can't get to today. So that's my biggest challenge, because I'm human and I want to handle everything. But there's only so many hours a day in a day, and there's only so many days in a month. And so, you know, it's
here's my advice to you on that. How's that? I teach a lot of time management, but like learning to batch as much as you can, being consistent in so that you don't have to stop and think about it.
Right.
Making Mondays be the day you do XYZ, you know, make Tuesday mm-hmm. be my day that I predominantly do this. Get into a routine that really allows you to, like, Tuesday is my podcast day. When yeah. I wake up, I know, okay, who do I have as my interviews? I got to read my sheets. I need to look at what times I'm going to be scheduling them. And they're batched. And then yeah. I don't schedule a lot of other things. And so I'm excited that day when I wake up. You know what I mean? I yeah. don't have to stop and think about, okay, what's next? And then what's next?
Right. That's a great idea.
The more that you can batch your different segments of your business or your daily routine,
yeah.
the better it's going to be for you.
Yeah, that's great.
Thank you. It really is. That's a big piece of advice right there.
Yeah.
And the other one is, you know, at the beginning, you got to do all these, wear all these different hats. But the minute that you can let the hats go to other people that where you can shine in the place where you need to be your best.
Right.
is important. And then the third one, and this is what I really had to do during COVID, was because I sort of had to reinvent my business a bit during that time.
Yeah.
And I said, here's my three main things. I called them my buckets. These are my three main buckets. And because people are always grabbing you going, hey, do you want to sing on this? Hey, do you want to go do this? Do you want to play this? Do you want to, you know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm, yep.
And I finally yep. had to say, does this serve one of my three buckets? If it doesn't, right. I have to start saying
no.
No.
Yeah.
And that's my big three pieces of advice there.
That is some great advice.
Well, you're welcome.
That was worth the price of admission today, even if the price of admission was like $100.
There you go.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. So now we're going to talk about this sort of, before we jump into talking about navigating business, here's a question that I'd love to know. And you're probably just kind of getting this started as well. But nevertheless, I think it's important. But what are you doing to build up your fan base? And on a second note, what are you doing to nurture the fan base that you might already have?
You know, in our world today, one of those answers is obvious, which is social media. But I'm going to back up for a second. And really, for me, as a songwriter and a performing songwriter, I make the truest fans at shows. When I get in front of a room that listens, you know, so I try to play mostly listening rooms where they, you know, they ask folks to be quiet and listen to the words during the songs. Mm-hmm. And I try to open for artists like Radney Foster and Walt Wilkins and, you know, John Bauman and people like that, that their audiences care about words and listen. And as long as I'm in front of those audiences, I make new, true fans who get what I do. And I subscribe to that old school train of thought when it comes to being a musician, which is go out and make one new, true fan every show. Now, in those situations, you know, I've been blessed in the last few years, especially that when I have those listening room situations, you know, I make more than one, but mm-hmm. that's just the old adage. But, you know, I don't make hundreds because there's usually only, you know, anywhere from 40 to 150 people there at most anyway at these kind of shows. But make a handful of fans that you make an impact on, and they remember you, they remember your name, they follow you on social media, they sign up for your email list. And so that brings me to, you know, social media and the email list. Social media, I've been very diligent just about giving people a pretty clear picture of who I am as a human.
Mm-hmm.
We all, you know, gravitate more to and support more and more easily give our money to people that we, you know, we feel akin to, and that we feel like we're friends with. I've started that years ago, really just trying to put as much on social media as reasonably safe, you know, because mm-hmm. Obviously you set boundaries, but I put a lot of just everyday life on there. And I also try to, you know, I make sure to not to put just everything rosy up there all the time, because that's one of the things I hate about social media, is that, you know, you kind of see the highlights of everybody's life. And so I had two brothers pass away 2 weeks apart back in March and early April.
Oh, sorry.
And thank you. And it was, you know, obviously extremely difficult. Is still, you know, something that's going to be something I'm dealing with for a long time. But, you know, I didn't just ignore that on social media, because artistically, I feel that's not untrue to who I am. And B, you know, people need to know, again, not just the highlights.
Yep.
And so I didn't talk about it a whole lot, but I did let people know, hey, this is what happened. Here's some of my thoughts about it at the moment. And just so that they get the real me as much as possible on social media and not some glamorized, you know, everything is always great, you know, version of me, because my record is full of real life stuff. And overall, it's a pretty heavy record. And it's just real. I mean, it's, you know, it's from my life. It's from my co-writers' lives, a combination of the two. And so I feel like, I feel the need to be true to that all the time, even before I put a record out. But especially after I put a record out like that, I'm like, you know, it really drives home. Be authentic.
Mm-hmm.
Don't hide stuff from people that you don't have to. So,
I think that's great advice. So navigating between the business and artistic side of your career. So this is always the challenging question that a lot of artists, they struggle with a bit and need to find their way. And what's really interesting, it's one of the reasons I started adding artists to the show on specifically on Thursdays, because I've always just done business entrepreneurs. And they can navigate the business side of it pretty well, but they really struggle a lot with everything you just talked about. Being authentic, building a fan base of people that get to know you and love you for just who you are. And so that's the piece they struggle with. So that's why I thought, oh my gosh, I think it's good to have this discussion because people can learn from each other, right?
Right, right. The different arenas of life. I remember when I, that band that I was in all those years, I didn't just play keyboards in it. I owned it, booked it, managed it.
Wow.
Everything. And so it was literally a minimum 40-hour a week day job. And really most weeks it was 50 to 60 hours a week. It was a 13-person organization, 10 in the band, 3 in the crew. And I did all the accounting, all the promotion, all the booking, dealt with all the brides and mothers of the bride and all the venues and wedding coordinators and such. And when I would go to Nashville, I told people all the time, I drive up on Sunday. I really felt like it took me until Tuesday night or Wednesday morning to be fully in creative mode, because it was such a different side of my brain.
Yep.
And at the same time, when I was in Nashville, I needed to be focused on the creative part. And so I would only handle business for the band in Nashville then that was emergency stuff, urgent, you know. You know, it worked out okay. But these people that, like, I have a friend named Doug Johnson who has run several labels in town in Nashville. And he's a massive songwriter. He wrote Three Wooden Crosses for Randy Travis. And he wrote Love Like Crazy for Lee Bryce. And it goes on and on.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked him one day, we were getting together to write. And, you know, we're writing at 5 o'clock because he's running a label all day. And I said, man, when I was running a band, I was difficult to say the least. I was like, how do you run a label and then just turn your brain off and go, you know, write songs? And his answer was really simple. It was just, well, when you have to do it, you do it. And that is a great answer. I don't think it answered it for me necessarily. Mm-hmm. I mean, I get what he's saying, but switching sides of the brain from one to the other is a big challenge. For me. And I've always said, like, if I end up having a whole bunch of number one songs and a bunch of hits, there's a lot of writers that do that and they go start their own publishing company.
Right.
That will not be me. Like, you know what?
It's good to know your weaknesses and strengths, right?
Well, I mean, I'm good at the business thing. I was really good at running that band. I want to be creative now. And that's where I want to spend most of my energy. So.
Very good. Well, that brings us to our next question, which is sort of our signature question of the show. And that is, what does work from your happy place mean to you?
I think it means working out of the calling that has been put in your heart. I remember watching a Steve Harvey bit on YouTube. Apparently, in between episodes of Family Feud, he just kind of preaches.
And okay.
He has this thing you can Google, you can search for it on YouTube, just Steve Harvey Jump, J-U-M-P, and find like the 12 to 15 minute version. And he talks about having the courage to chase after what the Lord, that's what I call it. I call it God. If people want to call it the universe, whatever. Something has put a calling in your heart and you can feel it. And he talks about his journey to being a stand-up comic and then being in movies and all that. He just said, you know, he was living out of his car for a while and had a wife leave him over it and tells this whole story. And then he goes, but, you know, you just got to jump. And he talks about one of the most powerful things he said in that YouTube thing was something about, I forget exactly how he worded it, but it was, somebody out there is waiting for that song that you're going to write. They need it. Somebody out there needs that book you've been thinking about writing. They need that movie. They need that business you've been starting, you know, you've been thinking about starting. They need it. You have a responsibility to them to answer that calling. And I think that's, you know, working out of your happy place.
Mm-hmm.
I know that's not necessarily possible for everybody, but then again, I don't know, because if everybody had the courage to pursue their calling, I'm thinking it would probably, the world would still work. You know.
Well, it's interesting because for me, and it has been for as long as I can remember, I just really want to help other people be successful. Like, yeah. That is truly my calling. Like, I think about it and I think, oh gosh. And when some people are talking about it, I want to give them a piece of advice. Like, it's like, oh, I can give you some wisdom right there and can get you through this next little piece or this next step, yeah, to to really getting where you want to be and be the best version of you. And so that is what drives me. It's my happy place. But I get marketing people that I'll work with and they'll say, oh, you're just missing the boat. You need to, have a course that is, $2,000 or $5,000. And I'm like, right. I don't feel that's mm-hmm. that's not going to serve that's not serving the purpose of what I do for my clients. Right. Like I'm not here to just make money creating a course that whether I really believe that's going to help you or not. And I just really think that's where people get. And I can't tell you how many marketing people. I had one marketing group quit, and she said to me, if you can't offer a bigger, higher ticket product than what you offer, then I can't work with you anymore. I said, okay.
Yeah. Right.
Like, are you threatening me? Like, I'm the one that's employing you.
Right.
So I just said, then I guess you probably should go because we are not a fit. And I've been super successful knowing my customer, helping my customer, and offering what I feel is fair for them and me. Like, why do I want to be unfair to somebody just to say, oh, I had this successful launch or I had this successful whatever. It just kind of it's annoying to me. But that's my happy place.
No, I totally get that too. And I mean, it's not to be, cheesy and cliche, but, you can't put a price on helping somebody. I realized, I'm not a spring chicken anymore. I realized sometime in the last, 20 years as I grew up from being a crazy kid that you really start living when life stops being about you. Mm-hmm. This world wants to tell you, man, you make you happy. It's all about you. And there's a little bit of truth to that, but mostly it is when you start living for somebody else to serve your kids and your friends and your community, that's when you really start living. And you can't put a value on that. And I've also found, like you said, that when I live out of that servant's attitude, the Lord takes care of me. I'm just fine. Mm-hmm. I've never gone hungry. And we're not rich, but we definitely ain't poor.
Right.
And I get to do something I love to do.
Absolutely.
And that's a beautiful thing.
It is. So what advice would you give to someone just starting out in the industry, in the music business? What advice would you give to them?
Well, I'll speak to the songwriter part because that's where I'm, because there's so many things in my industry, just being a musician or whatever. But the songwriter part, I would say, if you have that calling on your heart, you need to answer it. If you feel like you don't really have a choice but to do it, you definitely need to do it. And you have to love it more than beyond all logic and reason if you're going to chase this Nashville thing, because it is going to whoop your butt more than once. And you're gonna have to, like I said, love it beyond all logic and reason. And the biggest thing is don't quit. If you've been given some talent and you feel that calling, I heard L.A. Reid years ago at a hip hop conference, say something to the effect of the only people that don't make it in this business are the people that quit. Now, what I think he left a word out, or I missed a word. I think he meant, all the people that have some talent, the only people that don't make it in this business with talent are the ones that quit.
Right.
And I mean, I would sit here and tell you that what time is it right now? I am four and a half hours away from my first song coming out on a major label artist. And it's been 17 years to this road. And it's because I didn't quit. So.
Well, that's awesome advice, and that's a sweet ending to this interview. So any new and exciting things you want our listeners to know about, and where can they find you?
Yeah, you can find me on scottshaunwhite.com, and Sean is S-E-A-N because I think my mama had a crush on Sean Connery. and I'm on all the social media under the same thing, Instagram and Facebook and YouTube and all that. And my album Call It Even came out April 23rd. And so please go listen to that and sign up on my email list to keep up with me. And hopefully I'll be coming to a town near you to play soon.
Awesome. Well, Scott, thank you so much for joining us today. Yeah, it's been a pleasure. This was a really nice interview. And to all of our listeners out there, thanks so much for joining in. I hope this was inspiring to you. I thought this was a very inspiring interview. And I'd love you to leave us a review and please share us with a friend. And don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss a single great episode. We appreciate each and every single one of you, and we will see you next time on Work From Your Happy Place.
Thanks for joining us at Work From Your Happy Place. If you like what you hear, please share it with your friends and be sure to rate and review us on iTunes or Stitcher. For a free gift on finding your own happy place, please visit workfromyourhappyplace.com and click on the free audio button. Thanks again for listening.